Here's Josh Leuenberger, TSN Raptors reporter. How irrelevant is Charlotte, in your opinion, just in the NBA?
Well, they're actually headed in the right direction for the first time. It seems like, well, headed in a, sorry, not right direction, in a direction for the first time in seemingly years. Like, they're almost better off now than they were with Kemba Walker. And with Kemba, they were just stuck in no man's land. They weren't good enough to be good, and they weren't bad enough to be bad. They would be like 10th, 11th seed every year. So at least now they're in the process of restarting the whole thing. But yeah, man, in terms of where they're at in that rebuild process, there probably isn't a team in the NBA that's worse off currently than they are now. Like they don't really even have too many of the building blocks, too many of the pieces that they're going to need to actually take that next step. But I mean, good on them to this point in the season. They're actually winning games and doing better than a number of those other rebuilding teams. I can't imagine it'll last, especially if yesterday is in any indication. But yeah, I mean, they've definitely overachieved to this point.
Well, you look at the Raptors, and I saw someone post this, I think, earlier today. Four teams in the NBA in the top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency, and the Raptors are one of those four teams, which is what they were for the majority of last season, even the year before. I mean, during the regular season, they've always been efficient. But I think what's become clear is when Kawhi left and when Green left, you know, Nurse has been kind of dropping these hints, and maybe they haven't even been that, you know, inconspicuous. They've been right in our face. He intends on compensating via defense. Like he said it all throughout camp, the new guys are like, these guys aren't playing because they won't defend. He said nothing about, well, they won't show up on the offense. They can't give me a big shot. You know, it was simply if they don't defend, they're not going to play. And I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think it's been evident through 13 games that defensively, Nick Nurse, I mean, he realizes if that's a priority, a lot of other teams are trying to put up 120, 125 a night. He'll try to shut you down, and it's worked so far.
Yeah, that's clearly their identity. And that was probably their identity last year, too, at least in the playoffs, is on the defensive end. But now, realistically, you're looking at this team going into the season. It's like, okay, well, offensively, they're going to take a big step back. And they have. I mean, you mentioned that they're top 10 in offense. Going into last night's game, they were like 15th or 16th or something in offense, which is league average. But then you go out and you beat a team by 30-plus and hit 23s and have 40 assists. I mean, it's so early in the season. The sample size is so small that even a game like that, one game will swing the rankings pretty significantly. But, I mean, offensively, they're pretty much who we thought they would be to this point. No Kawhi, no Danny. They've taken a step back. They still have those nights like last night where it's like, okay, well, they're still capable, especially in the way that they're trying to score now. It's not an isolation thing or about one guy or two guys like it has been in the past. I mean, they're really sharing the ball. And even on the nights where the offense is ugly, it's not for a lack of ball movement. It's just they don't have enough guys that can create plays for themselves. So offensively, they're about where we thought they'd be. Defensively, even subtracting, it's pretty incredible considering you subtract two all-world defenders in Kawhi and Danny, but even going to the season, we knew that they had enough talent and versatility on that end that they could still be really good defensively. And I mean, when you look at what they've done against Kawhi and LeBron and Damian Lillard, not just entire teams, but specifically individual superstars, the type of players that we, before every game, spew out those cliches, oh, you're not going to stop them, you can just slow them down. The Raptors are actually stopping these guys. So defensively, they've been really special. And that, to your point, Brian, like they don't have that one guy that they can rely on anymore. So if they're going to win games, yeah, obviously the ball has to move and they've got to hit open threes, but defensively, that's still their opportunity to be an elite team in the NBA. And to this point, they have been on that end.
Josh, I tried to ask Sam last week about Van Fleet and how he's performing and his contract going forward. He seemed to be in the middle of a buffet dinner and didn't really give me an answer. But how do you think things play out with this guy? He's been dynamic. He's been awesome to watch. How do you think the contract stuff plays out?
Well, it's going to be really interesting because the Raptors love Fred VanVleet. The Raptors want to keep Fred VanVleet. There's no question about it. Whether Lowry is a part of their immediate future or not, luckily they're in an age and an era in the NBA where it's not like quarterback and backup quarterback, and the backup group learns and develops under the quarterback. Now, like point guards, multiple point guards can play together now and do play together. In the case of Van Vliet and Lowry, it had a lot of success playing together. So they want to keep them. Now, the major priority at this point, it's their top priority in every decision they make, whether it's extending Pascal Siakam, giving Lowry his contract, every deal they make, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in the back of their minds. The summer of 2021 and maintaining flexibility there, not only having enough money for one max contract, but maybe having money in addition to that to go out and surround somebody like Giannis with other talent, or at least that's what they would pitch to a player like Giannis. Now, that's where things get really interesting with Van Vliet. I think at one point it was like, all right, well, you can re-sign him and still have a lot of that money left over, because at least at one point it probably seemed like you can get Van Vliet on like a, I don't know, somewhere between $13, $15, $16 million deal. And even that seemed like a lot of the time, but the reality is guys get paid now. There's a lot of money out there, and especially this summer, there's going to be teams that have a lot of money, probably bad teams, but still teams that have money, and there aren't that many really good free agents. Van Vliet could be one of maybe the best free agent that's out there, which, again, a few months ago would have seemed crazy, now more realistic. So that's where things could get tough. If Van Vliet continues to have a career season, if Lowry misses more time and Fred establishes himself as a starting point guard caliber player in the league, or even if Lowry comes back and Fred's going to continue to start anyway, if he continues to perform well, all of a sudden we're looking at a contract upwards of $20 million a year, and that's when the Raptors might have to make a decision. I still think they'd want to go out and keep him. He's not restricted. He'll be unrestricted. So ultimately they'd still be bidding against other teams if other teams are interested. But I think they'd have to try and find that balance between keeping a player they really like and want to continue to build around, like with Pascal Siakam, but also make sure that they have enough money to go out and really fulfill what ultimately is their end goal here in bringing in a star player, particularly Giannis, in a couple years from now.
With Josh Lueberger, Raptors reporter, and at this point, I mean, everyone can dream about acquiring Giannis. You know, in Milwaukee, I'm sure they're dreaming about it. In L.A., because that's what they do. I'm sure Knicks fans actually believe they could get in on this. They believe they can get in on everyone, and it never ends up happening. But Brian Windhorst was, I think, on a podcast earlier today, and he connected Giannis with Masai. And he said, quote, "If Giannis were to look elsewhere, I think Masai would be a drawing card," which is to be expected. They have a history. But
it's like media tampering, man.
Well, I mean, I'll take it, because the Raptors
is tampering going on.
The Raptors were on the opposite side of this for 12 months. Wow. And now they might be on the right side of it for the next, 18 months to 20 months. But I wonder if that's where the Knicks connection comes into play here. They should want Masai anyway. They're a train wreck of a team, but they cannot get free agents to sign based on Dolan, based on their history. And if Masai is connected to Giannis the way most people expect that he could be, that might factor into these new reports that seem to resurface every 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Knicks, in addition to basically every other team in the NBA, certainly most of them, want Masai Ujiri, because Masai Ujiri is a really good executive, first of all. Second of all, I think, and this is so much, this is has much to do with, I think the value that Masai brings as anything else. He's just a presence. Like, it's not necessarily the tangible, making good trades, making good draft picks, but the presence that he has and the respect that he commands, not just individually, but that he brings to the organization and to the team, that's something that anybody should want, and certainly the Knicks being the disaster that they've been over the years. But, yeah, I mean, Masai, for so many years now, since he took over, has been talking about this goal of building this organization and this foundation to the point where they can go out and sell it to the best players in the NBA, and you're not going to get all those guys. You might not get any of those guys. It's very rare that a superstar, not very rare, but it's rare that a superstar player like that hits the open market and is taking meetings and is looking to move to another team. And then even in that situation, they only take so many meetings. They only consider so many teams. So it's tough enough as it is. to be in that conversation, but then to go out and actually get the guy, that's really the only thing that this Raptors team under Masai Ujiri hasn't done. They've convinced star players to stay in Lowry and DeRozan. That's something that they had never done pre-Masai. They went out and they acquired a superstar player in Kawhi, which is something. It's not the same thing as recruiting him in free agency, but it's something, and it led to a championship. This is the one thing they haven't done, and that's what going out there and getting Giannis would do. It would obviously be huge, not only for the actual team and the chances of winning a championship and all that, but just in terms of the reputation of the organization. That's a game changer. So yeah, I mean, keeping Masai is a top priority for the Raptors for so many reasons, because Giannis is also a top priority for them. And I do think, I mean, it's hard to really calculate how much of an advantage it is at this point, but there is an advantage in having Masai Ujiri when it comes specifically to Giannis. There's a relationship there. Masai has a relationship with Giannis, and Masai has a relationship with Giannis's family. I don't know that it's going to come down to that. First of all, we don't even know if Giannis is actually going to be a free agent in 2021. He could still sign an extension. If he is on the open market and he does want to leave Milwaukee, then who knows what could be a factor. We know going home was a factor for Kawhi. Maybe linking up with somebody that he has a pre-existing relationship with and trust with ends up being a factor for Giannis.
Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Josh Lindenberger, Raptors reporter. Wanted to get to the finality of his list, the top 25 Raptors of all time. We'll catch up with Josh later in the week. He had Kyle Lowry at 1, Kawhi at 2, DeMar 3, Vince 4, Bosh 5. And I can't really fight that necessarily. That's probably where
you
I would have
You don't think the championship puts him at 1?
Kawhi?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think because Lowry was on the team. And
a significant contributor.
Significant piece, and he's been here so long, and he's staying longer. You know, it's kind of a combination of
the hard one
being there and the longevity of it all, representing the team, the heartbeat, all that kind of stuff. But if Kawhi was at 1, I don't think anyone would complain. Although probably would. Now that I think about it, we complain about everything.
You complain.
You can find someone to complain.